Yes?
When I desperately want someone to be happy, am I still grasping?
Of course, but it's okay.
Should I stop wanting it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But the thing is like this, you know. If you desperately want something, it also brings you lots of, what can you say, anxiety and, you know, pain. Sometimes this is the problem. This is the problem that we desperately want to be free from suffering, and we desperately want to be happy, you know, ourselves also. But then, the more we want, you know, the more we get the opposite, you know, because, you know, I want to be happy, and then I'm not happy, you know, I want to be not unhappy, I don't want to have no pain. The more you have aversion to, you know, to unhappiness, the more you fear unhappiness, and the more you fear, the more you become sensitive, and you know, so the too much of that is bringing you more. Yeah. So therefore, it is very important. Yes, it's why not? It's really true. We don't want suffering. We want happiness. But how to get that is not just not wanting and wanting. Yeah. We need to have a deep understanding how to get there. This is the whole point, you know. So therefore, you know, sometimes you have to lessen your aversion, you know, or you have to lessen your too much kind of want or craving, and that brings more peace and more happiness. So therefore, that's why it is saying here that if you have less, you know, less fear, less kind of aversion, and less craving, then more peace. Yeah? So therefore, if you want too much, like I want to have too much happiness to the person, then you never have happiness too much, because it's, you know, it's kind of so you need to want this, but you need to also know that just by wanting it desperately doesn't get there, so you need to relax and you know, learn to kind of learn the way, you know, how to get there by reducing your aversion and your craving. Yeah, and then kind of relaxing. So that's the balance. You know, that's the idea.
Could you share with us some insight into the way that you look at the difference of the fruition in the Dzogchen point of view and the Vajrayana point of view? And Vajrayana in this sense meaning the ultimate fruition, like you talked about in this teaching.
Same. Dzogchen is the Dzogchen is the kind of ultimate, what can you say, essence of Vajrayana, tantras. Both Dzogchen and Mahamudra are same. It's like a quintessence of the That's why we call it pit instructions. The kind of the all the sutras, all the tantras, then to have somebody who has the experience of that and realization of that gives the essence of these teachings to a person who does not have necessarily too much time and too much, you know, kind of conditions to go through all the teachings, but needs to have that experience directly. That's Dzogchen and Mahamudra also. So that's why it's called pit instructions. But the basics, the fruition and, you know, the view and meditation is same, only the elaboration.
So when I'm on a cushion and do meditation, everything is quite okay. But when I get up and enter normal life, all these strong emotions and longings come up, and they're quite strong. What can you advise me at that moment, a specific moment, something strong and longing or desire comes up?
Of course. Of course, you should not even not, you know, you should not even have any expectation of not having, because you know it's not easy to be free from this. It is very good that you can stay calm in your meditation. That's also great. That is a great achievement, because most of us cannot do that also. I usually see that I from my point of view, the meditation that we do, sitting meditation or any practice that we do, I see as a training. As a training, not the practice, but training to practice, on how to practice. So we learn how to a little bit relax, we learn how to rest, we learn how to let go of our thoughts and emotions, you know. That's the main thing to learn, because in Buddhism, there's only the practice is all about, you know, your emotions. Emotions, how to deal with your emotions, reactions, habitual tendencies. How to work on that, you know, that's the practice. So the meditation is a kind of a training on how to relax yourself, how you can let go of your, you know, thoughts and emotions, how to train not to grasp at everything and run after and run away from everything. Make your mind a little bit flexible. That's the meditation. Now, the practice is in your daily life. In your life. Now, you know, when that happens, when your mind is, you know, full of emotions, full of, you know, then how you little bit allow your mind, because sometimes we say that we don't have time to practice Dharma, but actually it is not about time. It is know-how and discipline. Yeah, because we have all the time to be angry, to be upset, to be, you know, we don't need this. I don't have time to be angry. I don't have time to be upset. I don't have time to, you know, to have problems. No, we don't need any time for that. So we always have time for that, because that happens. So therefore, in the same way, the time is there. I mean, time is not the point, because when those, you know, experiences coming, the practice is, you know, learning how to let that go, or how to relax in that, or how can you kind of bring something else into your mind. That's the practice. So therefore, you know, when whatever, you know, very strong and negative occupies or comes, arises into your mind, then if you can, you need to know that, you know, then you need to say that this is not, you know, it's not useful to hold on to this emotion or this thought, because it doesn't do any good to me and doesn't do good any to anybody. So therefore, there's, you know, the mind is, you know, open, no? So many things can come. So you can allow something else to come. So you are kind of what comes to your mind, for instance. Yeah.
You mean what kind of emotion? Or
yeah.
Longing.
Longing.
Yeah, strong desire.
Uh huh. Think about a flower. Or something like that. You know, I mean, anything that is like, because to let go means to let come. Yeah? If you say go away, it doesn't go away, you know. Now you have a longing coming, you know, I want this, you know. And then go away, it doesn't go away, you know, because you are connected, yeah. You are holding on to go away, you know? You can't. So you have to let your mind allow something else to come in. Yeah? So anything. Think about, I don't know, Guru Padmasambhava. That's why, you know, Guru Padmasambhava. That's why this is what many people do practice, you know, like Lama, Guru Yola, and things like that. Said, when something, whatever negative things come to your mind, you think about your Guru and let your mind be occupied by that, or some qualities of the Guru, or devotion, or whatever, and then at that moment that emotion goes. Yeah, it doesn't mean that it wouldn't come back. It would suddenly come back, but you know. But once you have an experience, or you have a kind of a, you can let go of some negativity, negative in emotion, that much confidence you get that you can do it. Yeah. Maybe you don't want to. That's another matter. But you can. So it's a matter of your discipline. You know, it's a matter of your mindfulness. So therefore it is always said, mindfulness is the only tool we have for practice. The only tool we have is the mindfulness. Mindfulness means that we know what is happening and we know what to do. That's mindfulness. Yeah? So that's it.
Something about self, and when one realizes that self is no self, you don't need, one does not need, one can give everything away, so we don't need it anymore. Can you explain more about it?
Uh-huh. I think that is part of the Doha of what come about. He doesn't say no self. He says, if you see your mind, your rigpa, pristine wisdom, as free of all extremes, meaning that there's no need to kind of grasp at anything, but remain fresh, and, because the mind is, you know, we say that this moment of experience and this moment of experience, this moment of experience, this moment of experience, this moment of experience is creating the next moment of experience, and that is creating the next moment of experience. There's no one thing that my mind kind of all the time one. So therefore, you know, it's not about anyway, so when you understand that, you understand the way your consciousness is, then you become, you know, what can you say, you become very clear that there's no need to be too much afraid of and too much crave for things. That experience comes, not that you have to kind of label it. This is very important to understand. If I say, oh, there's no self, there's no self, you know, there is no self, you know, then I, you know, making an identification or label, you know, no self. But that is another level, same as self. Yeah? If you have this experience, then it's another way. So that's the understanding. So when that happens, then, you know, it's not that you have to give away everything or things like that. That we have, we don't lose the wisdom. Yeah, this is very important. I think from Buddhist point of view, all our mind has the wisdom of knowing what is the right thing to do or not to do at this moment, what is beneficial, what's not beneficial. It is not necessary, you know, sometimes people feel that we need to have fear to protect ourselves. That's not what Buddhism wants to say. They say that we don't need fear to protect ourselves. We need wisdom. You know, we need the clarity of mind. Sometimes people say, if you don't have fear, then how do you protect yourself when you cross the road? You know? I say that's totally ridiculous. You know, you don't need fear. You need wisdom to cross the road. If you have fear, you are more likely to be picked up. Because if you panic, then you are gone. Yeah? The panic is the most worst danger. If you panic, worst danger. I used to give examples of, in India, for instance, you know, there's no red light, there's no, you know, crossing, you know, bar. So you just have to cross the road, just anywhere. And then the car, you know, there is no rules, so the cars are coming from all sides, you know, buses and cars and tractors and elephants and oxes and bullock carts and horse carts and bicycles and rickshaws and you know, auto rickshaws and, you know, all sorts of things, you know, sometimes in the wrong way also, and, right? So you just have to walk very, very slowly. And then when you are kind of in the middle of a road, the cars never stop, so you have to make yourself very flat, so that if you panic and run, then you are finished, you know. So therefore the fear is not a protection, it's actually a danger. So therefore, you know, I think it's like that.
You spoke about true grasping the conception of existence, non-existence. If I read on Heart Sutra, everything exists only by name, how can I combine that with experience of touch, feeling of touch, if everything exists only by name, if it has no inherent existence?
What is touch?
Like this, shake hand, relation.
Yeah, then what?
Well, this feels like concrete. It doesn't feel...
Who feels like concrete?
Me.
Who is me? Where is that?
maybe not there, but if everything would exist only by name.
No, it's not like that.
Nominal existence.
The understanding is the Heart Sutra, or is that everything is dependently existing. Dependently and relatively existing. So therefore they have no independent existence, because they are all dependently and relatively existing. It's not to say that you cannot touch anything, you can, of course we can touch, but you know, everything is relative and dependent. I said this is my hand, but my hand is what? One or many? You know? My hand is lots of things. Yeah? And then each of the elements there is also lots of things. And each of that is also lots of things. And also they're all changing all the time, and influenced, and you know. So it's a very dependent thing. Where is my hand? This is finger, this is finger, this is finger, this... Where is hand? There is no hand, it's only fingers. The palm. Yeah? So therefore, hand is a kind of name given to all these things together. There is nothing called hand in itself. So hand is a relative thing. It's a dependent thing. Yeah? So finger, what is finger? Finger is also like that. You know, what's a nail? Nail is also like that. So what's the atom? Atom is also like that. What's the, you know, part of an atom? That's also like that. So therefore, everything is like that. So that's the idea.
So if it says everything exists only by name, it doesn't mean there is no more...
There is feeling and all these things, experience, but it, you know, it is also relative. It's also dependent. It's also transient. There's no one concrete thing or independent thing existing on its own. Especially touch is a, you know, is lots of chemistry, you know. You need body, you need something else to touch, you need the sensation of touch, which is also a very complicated experience. If you look into the science, it's a very complicated, no? To touch. Yeah? So, like that. It's everything is like that.
So the opposite of inherent, the experience of a self, an inherent self?
Yeah, there is no independent thing which exists on its own.
So relation is always necessary.
Yeah, relations.
The opposite of.
That's right. It's all relationship and relative. Because, you know, when you say relationship, it's not like there's one thing concrete and one thing concrete in this relation. But, you know, these are all like this, the right and left. You know. Is right there without left? Yeah, right is relative term, no? Because of left you have right. Because of right you have left. Right doesn't exist if left is not there. So both doesn't exist in on its own, isn't it? It's relatively existing. So in this way everything is relatively existing.
So out of relation comes experience of no real self and no real mind or no real you.
Yeah, that's why it is said in the Heart Sutra, form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. So emptiness is form is very important to understand. Yeah?
And touch is, and feeling is still.
Yeah, the touch is emptiness and emptiness is touch.
Yeah, it almost seems like a contradiction.
Because there is the experience of touch, but there is no, you know, no true thing that is totally existing as touch. It's a kind of relative thing. Yeah, it's a very dependent. So therefore, it's like that. It's an experience, and all experience are transient.
And our true grasping conception makes it look like real.
Yeah, the real is what my mind is making. Oh, it is there, the touch, yes. Touch is real, it's there.
So the opposite of the true grasping conception as inherent self would be relation.
Yeah, relative and dependent. Yeah, that's why the interdependence, what we call interdependence.
This view of dependent relation, is this
emptiness
combined with Dzogchen also?
Yeah, Dzogchen is very much based on all those things. Also, same thing. Dzogchen is no different from Heart Sutra.